This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome to Outspoken. Thank you for joining us again. Now, Sophie, we have had quite a hellish week and it's been because of you, hasn't it?
We predicted that last week that this would be like hell on earth this week and it has lived up to expectations. I think I've had 5 full days of packing, cleaning, scrubbing.
So you wouldn't recommend getting a rental and then moving 5 days later or whatever it was?
Yeah, I mean, I just think any time you leave a rental, it's hellish though, because, you know, you don't notice little things that build up over time and the grime and the shit and it's just, ugh.
Well, do you know what? So we did discuss last week how Sophie was moving this week and Kate and I came to offer a little bit of help and we rock up and she's literally got a massive truck outside of her house. So you booked the wrong moving truck, basically.
No, I did not book the wrong moving truck. I sent a screenshot of every truck to Brandon thinking that he'd know which one to pick. And I was quite happy to go with the smallest truck. But he thought that the smaller trucks didn't come with the electronic lift thing. So it was very misleading on the website. Luckily for us, Brandon's dad is a legend and came and helped. And he actually has a truck license because you required a truck license to drive this thing. This is how massive it was.
Even though the truck was so big, all your stuff didn't even fit in it, did it?
Well, we did one trip with a massive truck and then it was just so difficult to maneuver. We had to just take everything in the 2 utes that we had. But I am so happy we finally handed over the keys to our old place last night and there is going to be an inspection held this afternoon, which I'm going to, if I finish work early enough, I'm going to drive down and have a stalk of who's going to look at the house.
For everyone's sake, I hope someone rents it soon.
And can I say thank you to the lovely people in our community group who said it would only take a week or a week and a half. Thank you very much for not siding with Kate and Amy and saying it'd be like months on end.
One thing I have enjoyed about the moving process is helping Sophie organize her house. I'm living vicariously through her at the moment because I'm living in a very outdated house with red carpet.
Well, I invited you over on Friday night, Kate, being like, oh, let's have a girls' night, just relax. And we ended up instead for entertainment cleaning out the cupboard and putting away all of our crockery and cutlery.
No, you sent me a message saying, oh, it'd be great if you could help me decide where to put things. So I knew from the onset that it was going to be a night of work. No, I loved it. And we also went shopping for pantry items and we officially knew that we are old because I went home and I bought a Lazy Susan from IKEA and I was proudly showing Reese and all he did was laugh and look away.
Oh my gosh, I got roped into this IKEA trip. I was told that we were going to go to Marion Shopping Centre after, which I love. Literally got roped into going IKEA with every man and his dog there coughing, sneezing. You know, if there's anyone that's come over the border with coronavirus, they probably were down at IKEA on the weekend because it made me feel ill being there.
Yeah, it was shoulder to shoulder, wasn't it? Well, let's just hope that, I mean, we've got 0 cases here at the moment, but
yes, well, they had very cool stuff there for anyone else that's looking to revamp their pantry.
Hello, my little chickens. Welcome back to another video. So in today's video, we're going to be doing a clothing haul.
Let's get into the main topic. And Reese Hawkins has shared an interesting insight into the way money corrupts creativity in the influencer world. In a podcast episode entitled The Ego Awakening, he and co-host Mitchell Orville opened up about losing themselves at the hands of big brand deals.
When you start your social media, and this is just really prevalent in our lives, yeah. So I'm talking about it. You start out and you do something that's really natural and organic, right? And you get a following for that. And then you start to get so big. This is what happened with like me starting a YouTube channel and different things. You start to get really big. As soon as you start to get big, brands start to reach out and they're like, we want you to endorse our product.
Yeah.
You say no to really shitty ones at the start that are like, I can't associate with this. Yeah. I'm selling my soul. But then the bigger you get from doing what you naturally wanted to do and made you passionate, the bigger the money gets because your audience gets bigger. Then it starts to get to money where you're like, this is going to change my life if I accept this.
Yeah.
So you say yes. And then the brands start controlling your content. And you start to disappear slowly. And then you're pushing out all of this content that you didn't even want to film, you didn't want to take a photo of. And then what happens is you lose yourself and you forget who the fuck you are. You forget what you used to do, why people followed you, and you essentially fail yourself and you've done nothing.
And then you wonder why you're not happy.
I have actually been so impressed with Reese and Mitch's podcast. I was a little bit skeptical at the start, but they have been so open and honest on there.
Yeah, I think it's really good producing by Spin & Co, to be honest. I think that it is interesting listening to two men talk about their views on all of these different types of topics that you never really hear men address.
In this episode, it really did get me thinking about the influencers I have followed for the last couple of years and how they have had such big rises but big falls as well. So one of the influencers we have been following for probably like 4 years is Shani Grimmett. Now, we're not alone in following her. 1.55 million subscribers follow her on YouTube currently and over a million on Instagram. What do you guys think of her content at the moment?
Well, I think we've discussed it in the podcast previously, but there has just been an absolute lack of content on Shani's behalf. And she has come out recently and said that the reason she hasn't been posting as much is she was dealing with, I suppose, some, well, not mental health issues, but she was dealing with a lot of hate online and she was sort of not posting because of that.
Well, the stats do reflect that because last year Shani posted 28 videos, which equates to just one video a fortnight. So a massive 68% of those videos were sponsored, and the only videos that were not sponsored were those that she made during lockdown, obviously when deals are harder to come by.
Yeah, and I am not surprised at all by those stats because she has not been uploading anything over the last year. And I had a look back at her YouTube channel in 2016 when she was at the peak of her YouTube fame. And back then, she posted 97 videos a year, which equates to around one every 3 to 4 days. Now, looking at each of those videos, 23% of the videos were sponsored. So the other remaining videos were really engaging videos. So they were weekly vlogs, travel vlogs, and a lot of makeup tutorials, which actually gave back to the person watching them.
Well, the thing that I loved about her is she really opened up about her personal life, and her popularity really seems to have dropped off since she stopped dating Jonathan Sauer and has been dating Tommy Bug, which interestingly, that's when the move towards this more sponsored content became prolific, which when you look at it, makes sense because he runs his own talent agency called Zoots. So he seems to be probably in her ear saying, what's the point of making videos if you're not getting paid for them?
We've also got to remember, it's also, as you said, a change in management. Jonathan Sauer used to be her manager. She's gone on to Zoots, which is more high profile, and there's so many more influencers that Zoots manage. The other issue is, though, that since her popularity seems to have dropped off since she stopped sharing things about Jonathan, because I've got this theory that people are now obsessed with watching YouTubers who have boyfriends. So everyone loves the couple content. And we're not seeing any of that from her.
It's interesting that despite Tommy being in charge of an influencer company, he doesn't want to appear in any of her content. I mean, we've seen him in the background of a few things, but nowhere near as much as her previous boyfriend, Jonathan, was in.
But do you think it's because these influencers are getting older? I mean, when they were sharing about their boyfriends, they were teenagers. Now they probably know that the toll that this sort of exposure on their personal life gets them.
Yeah, but no one's going to be invested in what you're posting unless you're actually sharing parts of your life. Because then what is it about you that is so interesting?
The concept that people aren't as engaged anymore is actually reflected in her subscriber numbers. So taking a look at her YouTube channel on Social Blade, she is losing around 10,000 subscribers a month. And her estimated monthly earnings on YouTube are a lot lower than I thought they were. So these are the earnings that she is estimated to make on the AdSense side of her YouTube channel. So this doesn't include any sponsored posts that companies pay for her to promote. So she is estimated in a month to earn between $126 and $2,000. Now that really surprised me.
It is really surprising. And for those who don't know, basically YouTube base how much they pay you off something called a CPM, which stands for cost per milli, which translates to cost per thousand. But also I've heard online that they also take into account how much engagement YouTubers get on posts and also if their content is family friendly. So if you're a YouTuber that posts, you know, like your Saffron Barkers or your Anastasia Kingsnorth, they post very family friendly content, no swearing or any of of that kind of thing. So they get paid more per 1,000 views they get.
Yeah, well, when you look at Shani's estimated yearly earnings on YouTube, it's only between 1.2 thousand and 24.1 thousand. So it's quite obvious that her content is no longer engaging and she is having to get brands on board to sponsor her. Now, Sophie, you've actually got your hands on how much Shani Grumman is charging for this type
That's
of sponsorship.
That's right. I mean, yeah, so I did get a hold of these because I did have a client who was interested in working with her. So he wanted to see what her costs for certain things are. So for a YouTube dedicated video, it costs $27,000.
Now, can I just interrupt? A YouTube dedicated video is one of those sort of classic haul videos. So it's like a haul brought to you by Princess Polly and the influencer just tries on all the clothes and puts discount codes.
So typically a video that never gets that many views. Because all of hers have got like 50,000 for a Princess Polly stuff, which shows that no one's actually interested.
Because everyone's aware that it's just a sell and just an ad. So if you want a product, I suppose, just featured in a video, whether it's a Gymshark product like she has, it's $19,000. For an Instagram static post, $8,000. A tap and tag post is $2,500. An Instagram story with 1 to 3 slides is $4,500 and an Instagram story haul is $6,000. And interestingly, though, she has been posting a lot of IGTV during lockdown and she asked for $13,000 for that. And she mustn't have as good a reach on TikTok because she's only asking $1,000 for a TikTok.
Mm. Now, it does really make me think what Reese Hawkins said about how money is ruining content creation, because when I looked at her videos from this year, as we said, 67% of the videos she's posted in the last year have been sponsored posts, and you can really tell because there's no love for it anymore. Like, you can tell when someone is just being paid to try on some clothes and try and push them to you, as opposed to her content, which I used to love. Like, I was flicking back through her videos from 2016 and I was like, oh my gosh, I remember that one. I loved when she did what she did in a day and she spent the day with Jonathan and they went out to the beach and, you know, it was very organic. She was very relatable.
But that's what they're so silly because, as Reese touched on, they're really selling their souls to the marketing companies because they're losing the essence of what people actually enjoyed watching, and all they're doing is becoming a talking head for a brand that they're not even connected with.
I've just had a quick look at Shani's videos, and since January, she's done 3 try-on clothing hauls for different brands. So what's that? She's nearly made 90 grand.
That's incredible.
Off just those videos. I mean, how depressing is that?
Your math is wrong. It's $81,000.
Yeah, I said nearly 90 grand. So how depressing is that? That we're all slogging it away to get sort of minimum wage.
But you know what I don't get is, like, okay, you're locking in those big numbers like that, but you're clearly not passionate about it because you're not wanting to put out anything that's free.
Also, that's not going to always be the case. She's not always going to be able to ask for that much money because her engagement has dropped off. Her subscribers are going down. Brands are no longer wanting to work with just someone that's got heaps of subscribers. They're going to have to look at their engagement at some point.
There was actually a CEO who came out and he said that there has been a downward trend in converting from influencer marketing. So a lot of people are actually looking at what else they can do instead of going with influencers because they're just not seeing a return.
Because we have had influencers in our lives for a long time now, we kind of know the deal. We know when people are trying to sell us stuff. So I don't know about anyone else, but I just quickly flick through it. Whenever I see like HelloFresh or something, I'm like, yeah, I get what they're doing here.
And I don't watch those try-on hauls.
No,
I
me never either.
Have. I never do. I do if I'm really desperate for something to watch.
Well, consumers really are losing trust in paid influencers and they're now looking elsewhere at to organic grassroots communities to get recommendations. And I myself have done the same. Like, I'm a part of a few podcast groups and I love when people are posting information about, you know, TV shows or clothes that they've bought recently. And because you know that those opinions are correct, that they're actually authentic. It's not like they're being paid to do it. So there are some really clever brands that are going out there and they're finding their super fans and they're getting their super fans to promote their clothing. But instead of paying them, they're sort of giving them perks, like maybe giving them free clothes. I've noticed that Keep It Cleaner, which is run by Steph Claire Smith and Laura Henshaw, really could be capitalizing more on their super fans because there are 2 particular girls and they do share their stories a bit, but they have made their own Instagram profiles that are just show their kick journey. And I feel like those girls could be more the face of their marketing, which they have started to do. I think they started to get some of their fans involved in their advertising, but I think more so they could use those people because I have seen a lot of people like Beck Judd and Sammy Robinson pushing Keep It Cleaner at the moment. I'm like, Yes, but we don't actually believe that they do it. We know they're getting paid. Think
for them, it's easy. It's easy for marketing teams to be like, yep, let's put the money in influencers. It's worked before. I suppose this idea of community marketing is so new and it's probably going to be ruined. Like, let's be honest, all forms of, you know, email marketing gets ruined because people spam it. Influencer marketing.
Well, nothing lasts forever. So it's constantly evolving.
And I think people begin to understand what's happening and they start to clue on to, oh, okay, this is just an ad.
Yeah. Can you imagine just in a group, it just pops up. Oh, I just really like my Bondi Sands. It's just amazing. And it's like some person that's like been sponsored. I was going to say, we've focused a lot on Shani Grimmond, but there's also a lot of influencers who we've noticed, you know, they're having the same issues, that their content has gone down since they've gotten bigger, which kind of correlates with what Reese has been saying about people losing their authenticity due to sponsorship deals. And one of those people, I believe, is Sammy Robinson. And Sammy Robinson's always been someone I've enjoyed following, but her quality of videos has really gone down. And at the moment, she's averaging around 60 to 90,000 views. Yet she's charging similar amounts to what Shani Grimmond is.
Well, I have those stats on hand if anyone is interested. Ooh, as yes, well.
Yeah. So Soph just spilling all the tea.
So for a non-exclusive YouTube video, she charges $8,900 plus a $15,000 agency, sorry, a 15% agency fee.
So that's a $15,000 agency fee.
So that's about what half Shani was charging, I think. Well, she was 19,000.
Well, for a category exclusive YouTube video, it's $9,790. And in regards to her Instagram collaboration, Sammy also charges $4,200, which is pretty much on par with Shani, despite having a significantly lower follower count.
That is massive to be charging, especially when her videos are not getting the views they used to. So this year alone, she has only had one video which has received over 200,000. And can you guys guess which video that was?
It would have been one with Nick, I think, her boyfriend.
Oh, you're good. It was. It was a mukbang that she did with Nick.
Mukbang?
I say mukbang.
I'm not sure.
Mukbang. Anyway, it was a mukbang that she did with Nick where she explained why they'd broken up.
That was a good one, actually.
But in fact, I had a little look and all of her videos which featured Nick in the thumbnail outrated all of the others.
That's really interesting you say that, because I had a look at Madison Woolley's YouTube subscribers and she, of course, is Shani Grimmond's ex's new girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So she is really in complete competition with Shani. I mean, they wouldn't say that themselves, but no, I'm sure they are.
I'm sure they're friends, you know.
Now, she has only 135,000 subscribers compared to Shani's 1.55 million. However, she is estimated to be earning around the same price, actually a little bit more than Shani is on her YouTube.
From AdSense? Just for AdSense?
Yeah, for AdSense. So she's estimated to earn 150 to 2,400 a month and between 1,800 to 28,700. And that is, of course, because she has been uploading a lot more content. But a lot of that content does include Jonathan Sawyer. Maybe he is the ticket here.
Well, it was funny because I saw this YouTube recently and it was of Tommy and Molly May from Love Island. And Tommy was teasing Molly saying that she was only using him in her videos to get more views because apparently when she puts up a thumbnail with Tommy, it does get more clicks.
That's hilarious. Well, we've been focusing a lot on YouTubers that are doing it wrong, but talking about a YouTuber that seems to be continuing to do it right, and I know she's divisive and we talk about her a lot, but it's Sarah's Day. So I had a look at her YouTube channel on Social Blade, and she has around the same amount of followers as Shani Grimmond. So she's got 1.45 million subscribers. However, she is gaining 10,000 subscribers every 30 days. And her estimated earnings on YouTube are between $1.3 and $21,000 a month and $15.7 and $251,000 per year. Now, that is on AdSense alone. Now, what sets Sarah's Day apart is she seems to actually have brand deals that she really believes in. So for years, she has been promoting Tropica. For years, she's been promoting Labang. And she has also...
And of course, White Fox Boutique.
Yes, and White Fox Boutique, who now she has so many different lines with.
I'm sorry, she's got to have shares in White Fox Boutique. There is something going on there.
Her kid's called Fox.
I know.
Maybe her other kid will be called White.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, it is interesting because it gets into the whole point about YouTubers creating their own brands. And I feel like Sarah's Day is the epitome of a walking brand. She is someone that is quite authentic, and you can tell that she actually believes in the product she promotes rather than just one week she's promoting Boohoo.
I think your example of Sarah's Day being one of those influencers that's really capitalizing on having her own brand is so correct. And she's one of those people that continues to put out content that is unbranded. And I'm sorry, more people need to follow Sarah's Day if they want to see the success And more influencers need to follow Sarah's Day if they want to see the same success, because I'm finding you're seeing Shani Grimm and Sammy Robinson. They've both got their own lines. Sammy's got 1 mile and Shani's got silk swimwear. Yet we only see them posting when they want to spruik their latest sale.
Is it just me, or is it really strange for Shani Grimm to be promoting swimwear and Sammy Robinson to be promoting a fashion label? Both of those influencers made it big in the beauty industry. It would make a lot more sense for them to be creating a beauty product.
Well, I think they've both spoken about how they've lost their passion for beauty, so perhaps that is why.
Yeah, but it makes no sense, because I'm not going to be going and buying swimwear from Shani Grimm. I know she's got breast implants and she's been trying to make her body more of a focus, but you know, you've got to go with your bread and butter. She is known for testing out makeup. I would probably believe more in a makeup product she's brought out than a pair of bathers.
Well, with Sammy, though, I think Sammy is more known for looking like a model. I don't even think... With Sammy, she could put a $2 moisturizer over her face and she'd look bloody great, because she is so stunning.
She's the perfect salesperson then for any makeup.
Yeah, but she is. But you can tell she doesn't really like makeup because she doesn't even wear it, because she's so stunning without it.
You touched on that she looks like a model. But for me, all the clothes that she creates are based on her frame, which is quite an unattainable frame. She's like 6 foot tall, stick thin. Not many people that follow her will have that same body. So yeah, the clothes look great on her, but are they going to look great on everyone else?
No, but they'll still buy it. They'll still buy it because you think I'm going to look like Sammy Robinson if I have these pants.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll keep this conversation going in our Facebook community. It would be great to know if you have seen any of your favorite YouTubers going down this same path, and maybe recommend some YouTubers that are doing some great things so we can follow them.
Let's get into the pit and peak of the social media week. Now, Kay, I am loving this peak.
Oh my gosh, this made me laugh so much. Pedestrian have done an article entitled "Aussies are sharing their non-specific yardsticks of what makes someone a legit rich Kent." Now, this all started when writer Benjamin Law shared a tweet saying that he thought people were rich when he was a kid if they had a dishwasher. Now, other people have followed and said it all comes down to a fridge. So it's either a fridge with double doors, or it's got an ice maker, or it's got a water dispenser, which I didn't even know fridges had water dispensers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that with the ice as well?
Yeah. So it's got ice and then.
Okay, yeah. I've always wanted one with the ice dispenser, and I really did think that that made you rich when I was little as well.
Do you know what? I also think that, you know, when you were at school, you always thought a kid was rich at school if they got lots of yummy treats in their lunchbox. So if they got like a Danny, or they got a roll up or something like that, you instantly thought, oh, this kid's parents have got money.
Now I look at that and I probably think it's someone from a lower socioeconomic background, because giving their kids so much sugar is probably really bad.
Oh, you're ragging on the kids now with the Dunkaroos.
Probably because I was jealous, because we only ever got an apple. And then in year four, Mum kindly started giving us chips, and it was very against her morals because she's a dental therapist and she hated us having anything that was bad for us.
There are a few other funny ones. I really like this one. Someone said if someone has a full fridge of canned or bottled drinks, they assume they're rich. And I agree, because yes. You know when someone would have like all Coke cans and you'd be like, wow.
It's funny you say that, because I'm following a former 36ers import on Instagram who is back in America with his kids, and his kids were stocking up their little bar fridge and they were putting all like cans of Coke and bottled water and juices, and I just thought that is the epitome of being rich as well.
Well, it's like the Kardashians, they've got the full-on fridge that's got the see-through door just showing off all their Fiji water and their kombucha and everything.
Yeah, well, another one that I completely agreed with was someone said ice magic was the form of being rich. And I know for us that was only bought out on very special occasions, as with Viennetta. Viennetta was another one. I also loved someone pointed out that any kid that had a 36 pack of Derwent pencils. Now, I was lucky enough to share my desk at primary school with a girl, Emma Clark, who had a pack of 36 Derwent pencils, and I used to get to use them. But my job in order to use them was I had to then make sure all the colored pencils were in their rightful order, so they were numbered. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. That's hilarious. Well, let's move on to the pit of the social media week.
Yeah, I've got to say this one has been grating on me. Now, this has been going on for a couple of weeks now, and that is Madison Woolley and her trip to Melbourne. So she went to Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, and I personally was shocked because I was under the understanding that people were only allowed to travel for work or for very important situations.
And Madison is, of course, from Sydney.
Yeah, so Madison flew across from Sydney with her boyfriend, Jonathan Sawyer, who we've talked about earlier in the episode. And they were living it up in Melbourne, going out to dinners, going shopping. But on her YouTube video from her Melbourne vlog, she mentioned that she was on a secret work trip.
So there were exemptions for people who were traveling to Melbourne for work. So we're guessing that that trip was actually technically classified as a work trip. But was it really?
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what she actually comes out with, the product that she's obviously going to be launching soon.
But she went, not only did she go from Sydney to Melbourne, she then went Melbourne back to Sydney to Byron Bay. And while, you know, we're not sure if she's sick, we're not actually saying that she's passing on coronavirus, it does seem a bit strange that these influencers are allowed to travel from state to state to state and claim it as a work trip when all we really see of their work trip is them going out and taking photos of themselves at dinner.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, it pissed me off, especially in this climate when Melbourne has just been locked down. Despite her not actually breaching any rules, it does seem pretty tone deaf to be bragging about traveling to Melbourne, then going to Byron Bay with your influencer friends, and then this weekend living it up in luxury Sydney hotel because her and Jonathan are celebrating their 1 year anniversary.
Oh, it did make me laugh because I did see her YouTube where she did a video about her going away to Byron Bay with her friends, and I thought it's so funny because normally it's YouTubers bragging about their international holidays, but now I feel like the place to be is Byron Bay.
Yeah, I actually feel sorry for the people in Byron Bay, especially if it's become some sort of coronavirus hotspot with everyone traveling there.
Oh my gosh, I don't. Zac Efron's living there now. They're probably loving life in Byron Bay.
Yeah, Zac Efron and the Hemsworth. It seems the place to be in Australia.
No wonder all the influencers are going.
I'm not hitting on her. I'm just trying
to be honest. You tried to tell me today that you could have a go. 2 days! What kind of guy asks a girl to be their girlfriend and 2 days later they crack on with a fucking girl?
Let's get into our reality wrap, and let's be honest, there's been nothing really worth mentioning that's been going on TV. We've been mentioning for the past, it seems like the past bloody 12 weeks, we've been saying Bachelor in Paradise is back. So we're not going to talk about that. We're going to save that for next week. But what we're going to talk about is a shock new relationship.
Yeah, I was scrolling down my Instagram feed on Sunday morning and I had to forward this immediately to Amy and Soph. So Luke M from Love Island's recent summer series is now dating Lucy, who was on it a couple of seasons ago. So she was with, oh, I want to, I want
he was
to
say, a sandwich guy.
Yeah, Joe?
Joe.
Yeah, so she broke up with Joe. She also had the hots for Tommy, who's now with Molly May. So it kind of, when I saw it, I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. They kind of look like they suit each other.
Well, they're both blonde now because Luke M's done the whole going blonde in ISO trend.
But I think the thing that's controversial about this is he's only just broken up with Demi and he cited distance being an issue. However, Lucy lives in Cornwall, which is much further away from him.
Oh, let's be honest. He and Demi, there was never anything going on. That was just for both of them to stay on the show. I didn't believe in that relationship at all.
Oh, it was definitely a showman. So I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did.
I've got this really weird habit. Okay. Like, it's so weird. And it's to time, like 11 o'clock of the night, I like to have a cigarette on the toilet.
On the toilet?
Yeah, I can't have a cigarette on the toilet,
but what, when
I don't want the cigarette. I've formed a weird habit.
Is it when you're having a wee?
It could be either or.
Now, let's get into Awkward Turtle. And Sophie, you seem to be dominating this segment of the show. You've got to tell us what happened with you. And are we naming and shaming Dominoes? Oh, is that what?
Yes, we are naming and shaming for sure. Well, I think I still have a burning pit of rage in my chest from the incident that occurred on Friday night. So
I don't know if that's a saying, but anyway, isn't that a saying?
Okay. She was very angry.
I was furious. So on Friday night, we thought we'd sit down after 2 days of hellish moving. And we thought we'd also have a cheap meal because, you know, you bloody piss money away when you're moving. We're like, let's all have a $5 pizza. We'll splash out with a drink and some chips and we'll get delivery. I usually reject the delivery option because that's against everything I believe in.
Can I just say, I didn't even know Domino's sold chips.
Yeah, it was, anyway, they've got a whole new range of stuff anyway.
We're not trying to promote Domino's.
No, we're not. So anyway, I ring up order and the girl on the phone doesn't give me the price of how much it is. And I said, yeah, we'll have it delivered. It was 5 minutes down the road from us. We were just too exhausted to get it. Anyway, so then the delivery man rocks up. We worked out it should have been about $22, maybe $5 delivery. He then asks us for $42. And I almost died. And Brandon hands over the money. And I was like, what the hell? Is he like pocketing the extra cash? So then...
Why didn't you ask him then? Well,
because I wasn't dealing with him and I was really embarrassed. So I rang up the girl immediately and I said, I'm sorry, we've been overcharged. Our meal cost $22. I assume $5 for delivery. She then tells me that they charge a delivery fee for each individual item.
So you're telling me they actually penalise you for ordering more?
Yeah. So she told me that the $5 pizza rounded up to $10 because of delivery and so forth for each of the other items. So delivery for dropping the food 5 minutes down the road was $20. And I lost it. Like, I usually don't like to be rude to people on the phone, but I saw red, lost it. Brandon had to tell me to calm down, stop. And I was like, well, what are you going to do for me about it? All she said was, that's the price. So being in my 30s now, I thought it was quite within my right to write a feedback letter to Domino's expressing my outrage.
I love how you're doing this all whilst moving. Like, it's a priority.
They picked the wrong person. So I politely penned them an email saying how disgusted I was and why is there no delivery information online, to then be told that each individual store has their own policies and I should download their app if I would like to, you know, be across the fee. I'm sorry. Where's my apology or my voucher to shop with you again? Ooh. I am never, never going to Domino's. The worst thing was I was so outraged by the incident that I let the food go cold and then it was even tasted even more like cardboard. And have I not, I'm sorry, this is the most massive rant, have I not been talking up Domino's to everyone saying, oh, you better check it out. Well, I'm sorry, no one check it out.
Yeah,
they are cowboys.
You have been telling me to try Domino's and I will not because I don't want to eat crap $5 pizza.
Well, I'm on my health kick, so Domino's is a no already.
What a ripper!
Well, I think that's all we've got time for. Thank you again for listening to Outspoken. If you did enjoy today's episode, we'd love if you could share it on your Insta story to let more people know about the show.
And please come and join the conversations in our Facebook community. I am loving all the chats that are going on in there. So if you want to join in, please check us out at Outspoken, the podcast community.